Good morning. It's with excitement that I'm here, but yet as I was sitting here this morning and just thinking of what this means, what does the resurrection mean, really? All the things, if you think about all the things that we sang about that fired us up, got us so excited this morning, wouldn't be there. We sang about free from the guilt of sin, wouldn't be there. Can you imagine that? There's a lot of people that can. Thankfully, I think most of us in here can't. We don't understand. I think sometimes we forget. And maybe that's why we don't share the gospel. I don't know. We forget what freedom it is to be free from guilt. What an amazing gift that we have, that God has given us. Just think about it. If you have to sit under the guilt of all those things that you've done, people don't even know. What a wonderful gift. And that's what we're celebrating today. Jesus rose from the dead. No fear of death. You know, we say funerals are a celebration. Why? Why would we say a funeral is a celebration? It's a sad thing. Oh, but it's a wonderful thing when we know that we will see them in heaven again someday. It's not the end. It's not the end of the story. Just as this morning, we're going to look at the resurrection. We're just going to go through the story. And we're going to look at the John 20 account. So if you turn with me to John chapter 20, we'll be looking through this account as we go. I'm not going to read it up front because I'll be reading it as we go through the message. But just to remember, in the very last, I'll tell you why I chose this passage. At the very end, I'll share with you that passage. But I was excited about this message, and I'm excited about this celebrating this time. But just sitting here this morning then, thinking about the fact that if what Brother Todd read, Christ was not risen, what a sad place that we would be in. I had several people talk about the church this morning. What a wonderful help the church was this morning. There would be no church. There would be no body. And I had to think about the fact Drew shared with me in Detroit. We don't get it. I really don't. I think we don't understand how it is to live without Christ. We just don't understand, especially in our community. You know, you open a door. They work in the shop. They leave the door open. They can't leave any tools close to the door. He said they'll disappear. Somebody just walking by on the street. I have no clue how that is. I have a daughter that spreads my tools. I mean, she would spread them all out for everybody. I mean, I find them outside all spring long. I mean, we don't understand what that's like. I think we just do not understand how blessed we are to have a risen Savior. I think we so often forget that. And this morning, we just want to remember again what happened that we can have the hope that we do, that we can be free from the guilt of sin, have no fear of death. Went to a funeral this week of one of my relatives, cousins. It was a sad time, but yet it was a good time because I know I'll meet him again someday. I mean, I saw his physical body for the last time, but again, someday I will meet him. I have no doubt that he was a Christian. He was Amish. But he was a Christian. I believe he was saved and loved the Lord. And it was exciting to be there and to hear. There's many people that knew him, and he influenced many people in his life. But it's not the end, and thankfully we can hear that. So turn with me to John chapter 20, and we want to think about the crucifixion. You know, that was a busy day. I never want to think about. When I think about the resurrection, I think about Jesus rose. And there's one thing that happened, Jesus rose. There was lots of things. And we want to just go through the things that happened on that resurrection day. It was a packed day. It was a busy morning, and it was a packed day. When we look at, we're just going to look at some of that. We're going to through that today in our message to see what happened. There was a lot of people at the tomb. I didn't realize that when we think about, there was Jesus was at the tomb. Well, we know he was there, right? He was dead. But there were soldiers there. There were angels there. Mary, Magdalene, and half a dozen other women were there. Peter, John. There was a bunch of people that were there at the tomb in the morning. There was an earthquake. There was an angel that was bright as lightning. All kinds of things. This had to be an interesting morning. And I had to wonder about the soldiers. I like to imagine, you know me, I've preached often enough. You know my thoughts. I like to imagine how things were. Think through, like, how was it? How was that? Did the soldiers have any premonition of what was going to happen? You know, sometime between midnight and sunrise, something started to stir in the tomb. Did the guards hear anything? I don't know. Did they feel something? I don't know. But something started to stir in the tomb. Jesus got up. And we see in part of it that it was, I'm messing with this thing. It's okay if I'll turn it down a little bit. I try to put my hands behind my back so I don't mess with it. Let's just put it up here. I don't know where we want to put it. Somewhere. Anyway, Jesus starts to stir. He gets up. He folds the cloth that was on his head because they find it folded away from his other clothing. I do wonder, so then what did he do? Did he wait in the tomb till the angels came and rolled away the stone? He didn't have to. Where'd he wait? He was there somewhere because in a little while here we'll see him there at the tomb talking to somebody. And then the angels show up. Matthew tells us that an angel descended from heaven. And I had to wonder what, so here's my mind again, I had to wonder what that was like. You know, if you were a guard sitting there and I had to think, you know, maybe one of them goes, hey, there's a falling star. Whoa. Usually a falling star goes out, right? But man, this one's getting brighter, brighter. It's getting closer. Oh, it's coming right at us. What do you do? I mean, you got a falling star coming right at you. I don't know what it was. Did he appear all of a sudden? Boom. But he said he was bright as lightning. What happened? He came, he rolled away the tomb. I have to wonder, where was the earthquake? It tells us there was an earthquake. Was the earthquake when Jesus rose? Was the earthquake when the stone was, when the angel arrived and landed on heaven, on earth? I don't know. My imagination goes wild. I hope someday that we can have God show us these stories or tell us these stories. I think that'd be wonderful to know what happened. I don't know if we ever will or not. But to see those, maybe he's got them recorded and we can watch them on DVD. I don't know. I don't know what it would be like, but I think it'd be interesting to see how God worked. I think there's lots of things that we will go have aha moments. But we do know that it was a pretty frightening experience because it says the guards shook with fear. It says they fell as if they were dead in Matthew. And I heard somebody say one time that the angel came and rolled away the stone. I believe is true. Not so that Jesus could get out, but so that we could get in. We needed to see that the tomb was empty. And my other curiosity that I had to think about is this is, so did Jesus and the angels have a conversation while they were waiting for the other people to show up? I don't know. Did they? Did they have a conversation while they were waiting for the others to show up? Can you imagine the honor it had to be for the angel that was allowed to come and roll away the stone from the tomb? Had to be an honor for that angel to be able to do that. There was many times, as we look at Scripture, we see where the angels were with Jesus. They announced his birth. After his temptation, they came and ministered to him. In the garden, they appeared to him. An angel appeared to strengthen him. But you know, on the cross, he was alone. I found that interesting. On the cross, he was alone. And I had to imagine what it was like for the angels to be up there. I don't know if the angels could see it. My imagination runs sometime, and so you have to remember, this is not Scripture that I'm talking about. It's my imagination at this point. But the angels standing up there seeing Christ being crucified, and God had to tell them, no, no, don't go. They could have gone. They could have saved him, sent the legions of angels and saved him. God's saying, no, don't go. One thing I had to remember, one thing I had to think about is, like Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? Sometimes we feel that way. Possibly just like Jesus' case, God is watching and watching closely, but leaves us in our situation for his glory and for his purposes. And that's hard to imagine sometimes. But we know what the wonderful news is. Someday he will comfort us in a way that we cannot fathom. Might not even be here, but it will be in heaven maybe. Why does he let us go through the things that we go through? I don't know. But we know that he has a purpose for it. And it is for his glory. But just know that there is a comforter, and he will comfort in the Holy Spirit here on earth. But I think once we get to heaven and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, we would go back and do it 10 times over. I really believe so. All that hard stuff that we had to go through, if we remember that. At the appropriate time, he will hold us close and comfort us. The story of Job gives us a very similar example of that. Job went through a lot of stuff, had no idea why, but it was for God's glory. So now as we come to the tomb, now we see the women heading out to the tomb when we come to our scripture here. Now on the first day, John 20, verse 1, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And let's point out right now, that's John. I'll just put that out there. The other disciple that Jesus loved is John. So when you hear me talk about Peter and John, it's this guy right here. And it's interesting that he wrote the book. It says the other disciple that Jesus loved. And he says the other disciple that ran faster and the other disciple that believed. He was talking about himself. He did not mention himself. He would just mention himself as third person. And John only mentions Mary Magdalene. But the other three Gospels all mention Mary Magdalene. But they also give names of several other women that were along. So we have Mary, the mother of James the Lesser. We talked about him a couple weeks ago. Salome, Joanna, were a few of the other women named in the gospel. So while it was still dark, they got up, they left home so they could be there at daybreak, I believe. And as they approached, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. By then, I'm assuming the soldiers, doesn't say when the soldiers left. It says that they, in the gospels, it tells us that they fell as dead. The next time we see them, they're in front of the priests and telling them the story. And the priests tell them, here's some money. Just go tell them that the body was stolen. Which, if actually would have happened, they would have probably had to be put to death. So, anyway, that's a different story for a different time. But so I don't know when the soldiers woke up and left. But somewhere in this, I'm guessing before the women got there, they got up and ran away. But the women got there. They saw that the stones had been rolled away. And before they got really close, Mary Magdalene took off for Peter and John. Went to see Peter and John. Went to find them and tell them, tomb's been rolled away. Or the stone's been rolled away. And it's interesting, I'll mention it here. Peter and John are together a lot. If you remember from Todd's last sermon, Peter and John. That was after this. Peter and John were together a lot. And so it was interesting that she ran to get Peter and John and not any of the other disciples. Meanwhile, the other women approached the tomb and they go inside to investigate. And once inside the tomb, they see it's empty and they're confused. And they see two angels. And Luke 24:4 tells us this. It happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And then it tells us that women immediately leave the site and go to do as he says. Meanwhile, Mary finds Peter and John. While this is all happening, Mary finds Peter and John. And she said to them, they have taken away the Lord, going back to John 20, verse 2. And said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, who was John, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. And interesting that they come, they look, and they go home. And if you remember right, just before this, the angels had, the women had come, they'd gone into the tomb, they saw the two angels. Now Peter and John come, and there's no angels. And in a little bit, Mary Magdalene comes. We'll see her coming here in just a little bit. And the angels are there again. It's interesting that the only people that saw the angels were the guards and the ladies. They were the only ones that saw the angels. I don't know that there's any big revelation about that. I just found it an interesting fact. We don't know that Peter believed that Jesus had risen at this point. It doesn't say that he did. But it says that the other disciple believed. And how does the author know that the other disciple believed? Because he was that disciple. Yet verse 9 tells us that they still didn't put it all together. They still just didn't quite understand how this was all supposed to work. And, you know, sometimes I think, well, man, guys, you should have just got this. We look at this story. We've read it since childhood. You should just get it. Don't you understand? And look at, there's several passages here I want to share. Jesus, he was maybe, could have been maybe a little vague, but there's other parts where he was like, he told them, this is how it's going to be. And you'd think that they would remember it when it actually happens. But I think the Jesus they were, the Messiah they were looking for was far from what they were expecting. First of all, Matthew 12:38, Jesus had told them, they had heard Jesus say this to the scribes and Pharisees. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And as we know, the Pharisees and the scribes, once they saw this sign, still didn't believe. They saw this happen, which is, we're seeing the last part of that today, and they still didn't believe even after they had the sign. And then he was even very clear sometimes. Matthew 16:21-23 says this, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" You would think if anybody would remember what Jesus said, it would be Peter, right? Because Jesus is told, "Get behind me, Satan." Because Peter had told him what's going to happen. And he said, "No, it's not going to happen to you." You would think that Peter, if anybody, would remember. Yet, we have to remember, I think, sometimes the furthest thing from their mind was the fact that the Messiah was going to die. How can he be the Messiah if he dies? In their mind. He came, they were thinking, they wanted somebody to get them out of this Roman rule. They were under Roman rule. They wanted a Messiah that would make them, get them out from underneath that. They were looking for a physical Savior, one that would save them from Roman rule and make so that they would never be under the bondage of another nation ever again. And sadly, that is still what they're looking for today, because that's not what happened. It's not what happened when Jesus came back. Jesus came to be their spiritual Savior who would save them from their sins and restore their relationship with Him, and they did not see it. Matthew 17:22, he told the disciples, "Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill Him. And the third day He will be raised up.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful." And it wasn't until after His death and resurrection that they finally start to realize what Jesus had been trying to tell them all along. The first example of this was when Jesus was talking to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He shared the scriptures with them. Luke 24 tells us, it says, "And beginning in Moses and the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself." Talking about those two men. That also happened this day. We're going to cover that here in a little bit. That evening when He met His disciples, Luke 24:44, "Then He said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." So it wasn't until afterwards that they finally started to understand what Jesus had been trying to tell them very plainly all along. Sometimes that's how it happens for us. We have to go through some pretty rough things before we finally give up and start listening to what Jesus or God is trying to tell us. Going back to the story, Peter and John had been there. They went in, they saw it was empty, and they went home. I don't know why they went home. I don't know why they didn't go tell the other disciples. I don't know what happened, but they went home. And then we see Mary Magdalene coming back sometime after Peter and John's departure. She must have been tired by then. She had run to tell them. They took off and ran back. And then finally, she comes back. Finally, she's back at the tomb. Because she still doesn't know what has happened to Christ's body, she just stands at the tomb's entrance and looks inside the tomb crying. And we come to that story here on verse 11 in John 20. "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And she wept And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting on, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and said, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. We see here Mary's second visit to the tomb that same morning. And it looked like by the time she came back, Peter, John had left again. And after seeing the angels and in all the confusion and grief, she didn't realize who the man was that was talking to her. The man that asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And then he says her name, and instantly she recognized this. I recently had an experience like this myself. I didn't meet Jesus. I've met Jesus, but not like this. Anyway, I was working with a customer. I'd gone to their house, helped, that's usually often what I do, talk to them about what they want. And then I was supposed to bring the print back to the customer. So I brought the print back to the customer. It was cold outside. I hurried in, and I knew the man wasn't home. I was just going to have to give it to his wife and then leave. And so in my mind, I'm thinking about what I'm going to tell her, because I hadn't met her yet, didn't know who she was. What I'm going to tell her, and I had my bag, and it was cold. I knocked, she opened the door, I stepped inside, and I reached into my bag, and like I do, I started talking before I even looked at her. I started talking and telling her who I am. I said, "I'm Dwayne, I work for L&L Builders, and I'm here to give." And she said, "Well, yeah, I told my children that's my cousin coming in the sidewalk." And in my mind, I go, "Yeah, I guess you were wrong, because like my cousin doesn't live here. I don't." And I looked up and looked at her, and guess what? It was my cousin. I'm like, "Whoa!" Here, I probably talked, I don't know, a minute. It feels like forever. Afterwards, think about it, I talked forever. And now you got to understand, I don't have just 12 cousins. I have a bunch of them. And so when you have a bunch, you don't know all of them. And I didn't even know her name. I just knew from her looks that she had to be related to me, because I knew she looked just like her mom. But just like, we get so distracted. And I had to imagine that's what Mary was like in her grief, in her, she's not thinking, is why she didn't recognize Jesus at the time. But as soon as he said her name, she realized who he was. And it was interesting that a woman, which I have not done a lot of studying on this, but women and their voice was not, couldn't be used for much in this time and age. Didn't mean much. And I find it interesting, as much as modern women want to say that Christianity is against women, Jesus loved and shared a lot with women. And it's interesting that a woman was the first person that saw him resurrected from the dead. Actually, women, because the next place people that he reveals himself to is the women that were at the tomb before, at the first time. The women that came to the tomb with Mary, and as they were hurrying away. So he talked to Mary. We don't know how long they talked, but parted their ways. It left, and she went to find the disciples. And then Jesus reveals himself to the other women that were there. They were on the way to talk to the disciples also, and he revealed himself to those women. I found it very interesting that modern culture would say that Christianity is so against women, but yet that is who Jesus revealed himself to first. And after he had done that, after he had revealed himself to the ladies, and that's about the last that we see of anything that happened at the tomb. So don't know how, was this hours? Was it 2 hours? Was it 3 hours? Was it 4 hours? We don't know what the time frame was. But it was interesting. It was a busy, busy forenoon at the tomb with earthquakes and angels and all kinds of women and men coming to look. Then we see somewhere along the line here that Jesus reveals himself to Peter. And there's not, it's interesting, there's not a detailed, all the others, there's one of the gospel authors that gives at least a little detail about what happened. But there's nothing about that. There's no detail about it. But Luke and 1 Corinthians both tell us very plainly that somewhere along the line, in that day, Jesus revealed himself to Peter one-on-one. And Peter is the only original disciple that Jesus appears to one-on-one. And again, I think that shows some of the special relationship between Peter and Jesus. I shared this in a message before. There's nobody that rebuked Peter more than Jesus did. There's nobody that was more outspoken for Jesus than Peter was. I think there was a special bond between the two. But anyway. And then Jesus meets the men on the Emmaus Road in the afternoon. Jesus met the two men on the Emmaus Road and expounded to them the scriptures concerning himself. And when they sat down for supper and he blessed the food, they recognized him and then disappeared. I do wonder, like, Mary recognized Jesus when he said her name. The two disciples recognized Jesus when he sat down and blessed the food. I do wonder, he must have been something that he said that was familiar to them when he blessed the food. And he blessed the food and they recognized him and then he disappeared. And they took off, even though it was late, and headed back to tell the other disciples what had happened. Luke 24 tells us that story. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon," Peter. And they told them about the things that happened on the road, and now he was known to them, how he was made known to them in breaking bread. And then we see the last event of the day happening here in John 20, verse 19. While these men were explaining, from Emmaus, were explaining to the disciples that they had seen Jesus, and they were telling them about Peter's thing, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And then he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' Now then Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nail and put my fingers into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" And I think I shared a little bit about this before, one of my last messages, that Thomas, he's called Doubting Thomas because he didn't believe. But if you read, there's a passage if you read the Luke passage of this very account, the other disciples didn't believe either initially. They didn't quite, if we look at that, Luke 24, 36. "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace be to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.'" So there again, proved who he was by showing them his hands and his feet. And then we go to verse 26 of John. "And after 8 days," so 8 days later, 8 days after the resurrection, this would have to be on a Monday. "After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your fingers here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And then we come to verse 30, very last verse in the chapter, which is why I chose this passage to read today. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. It's really what it's all about. It's through Jesus Christ and his resurrection that we have life. And we think about the passage that Todd read this morning, part of it. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith also is empty. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. And then I think the next chapter should be in bold and like 200 print, size print. Because the next verse says this: but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. But now Christ is risen from the dead. And we are here to celebrate that this morning. And we did celebrate that this morning. We want to celebrate it throughout the day. And just again, be so thankful. Think of all the things. If I think of the things that I would not have if Jesus wouldn't have risen on this day so many, many years ago. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we thank you for the stories that you give us. Lord, you leave a lot to our imagination. And Lord, I pray that we never let our imagination override the truth. But Lord, we do know that you rising from the dead is not in our imagination. Lord, you've given it in the scriptures. Lord, you've shared it, not just, Lord, that we can read it today, but Lord, you shared it in scripture, in written word, back in the day when it could have been proven wrong. Oh, Lord, and it never was. And Lord, we just thank you so much today, Lord, that it is not a figment of our imagination, that Jesus is a risen Lord, and Lord, that he's our Savior. Lord, and I pray that each one of us here today, Lord, that he can be our Savior. Lord, that we can be free from the guilt, free from the shame, free from the hurt. Lord, all those things that Satan wants to use to just tear us down and make our life miserable. Lord, it is through Christ that we can face hard things. Lord, it is through Christ that we can face those hard things and still have joyful hearts and still praise God. We thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.